Itara is the Bodhisattva, a great Bodhisattva. There is a kind of story about Itara. The story goes like this. A long, long time, this is the story that Buddha told. He said that long, long time ago, in many, you know, kind of worlds before, there was a Buddha called the sound of the drum. And at that time, there was a princess called Wisdom Moon, Nishitava. And she was very devoted to that Buddha. And she served the Buddha and all his retinue, the Bodhisattvas, Arhats, etc. for many, many years. And then at the end, she generated the Bodhicitta. And at that time, it is said that, that the monks that time told her that she should now make prayers that she will become a man and then you know, be able to help all these other beings. And when she heard this from those men, she said that there's nothing called man and woman. There's nothing called self and personality. So therefore, all these designations of man, female, etc. is just a designation. These are the concepts of the ignorant samsaric beings. So I would like to dedicate that I will all the time, throughout my lifetimes, will become only females, and in the form of a female, I will work for the benefit of all the sentient beings, and I will not become a Buddha unless and until I first make help all sentient beings to become enlightened. So this, she made a promise, she made a dedication, and then it says that since that time onwards, she has been, you know, she became a great Bodhisattva. Although she didn't want to become enlightened, she became enlightened because she had so much wisdom and compassion, but she doesn't want to be called enlightened. And her activity is like that of a mother to the only child. The activity of the Itara is supposed to be very, very swift or very fast. That she made this special dedication that all her power, all her energy of positive deeds that she does will become a power or energy that will give kind of fearlessness, to protection to all the people who have fears and who are in any kind of danger. And since then, the the Tara is supposed to be a great protector, Bodhisattva, and she is the one who is responsible to bring all the thousand Buddhas who would happen in this world, that they become Buddha. She is one of the main causes. And it is said that she promised not to even have her meal, breakfast, without helping a million people every day. So therefore she is called Dolma, which means Para, which means the liberator. So she is usually called the liberator because she is always liberating countless beings every day. So this kind of story is taught by the Buddha, and it is like the example of the greatest kind of kindness, compassion, and love, and wisdom. So therefore, it is also used as a method for us to practice the wisdom and compassion. We take that story from that person of Tara as an ideal, as as a hero, you can call, as an example, and through that, and then try to bring out our own wisdom and compassion. And in order to do that, we use the form or the experience of the Tara. This is what we call the using the result as the path in Buddhism.
Тара, е бодхисатва, най-вечит бодхисатва и на Буда. Сам Буда е поведал сводба от Тари. Буда е поведал да е дълго-дълго тега назад, пред некъй светъл назад, е обставил Буда по имено Звук Богна. И такрът е живела тук принцеса, по имено Луна Мудрости, е ще дала по тибетанско. И зело е била предана и служила е тему Буди и неговому спремству Бодхисатвам и Нархатам много-много лет. И на концу се в нея сподила Бодичита, ум разсветление, желя да би досегла разсветление за добробитие всех чудечих бити. И така са и менихи, ки са били в спремство, Будовем спремство, поведали, да би сега морала делати аспирацијски молитве, за то да би постала мошки и, и да би на та начин лахко боле помагала чудечим битием. На то па им ја она одворнила. nikogar ni, ki bi ga lahko poimenovali moški ali ženska. Ne obstaja jaz, ne obstajajo osebe. Vse to so samo imena. Moški ali ženska, to so samo imena. Koncepti, ki izhajajo iz nevednosti samsaričnih biti. In tako je ona posvetila vse svoje delovanje temu da, in naredila aspiracijsko molitev, da bi se zmeraj znova projevala v ženski obliki in da bi na ta način delovala za dobrobit vseh čutečih biti. Zavezala se je, da ne bo postala Buda, da se ne bo razsvetila, dokler se ne bojo vsa druga čuteča bitja razsvetila pred njo. In tako je tako obljubo je dala in tako je posvetila svoje delo. In od takrat naprej je Tara postala popoln bodhisattva in čeprav se ni hotela razsvetliti, je postala njeno sočutje in njena modrost so postala tako veliki, da je postala razsvetljena, da je že razsvetljena. Čeprav noče, da jo imenujemo kot razsvetljeno. Njeno delovanje je kot mati, ki skrbi za svojega edinega otroka. Njeni blagoslovi so zelo hipi. Tara je tudi naredila posebne posvetitve in inspiracijske molitve, da bi vsa njena moč, njena energija pomagala tistim, ki jih je strah, da bi nam pomagala doseči neustrašnost. Zato pravimo, da Tara daje zaščito pred strahom in tak, lahko se zatečemo k njej, kadar smo v nevarnosti. Od tistih časov naprej, ko je stopila na pot bodhisattve, je Tara postala bodhisattva, ki je zaščitnik vseh čutečih biti in znana je tudi kot, potem, da je odgovorna za to, da bo vseh tisoč put našega eona pripeljala do razsvetljenja, da je glavni vzrok za razsvetljenje tisočih put našega eona. Tara je dala obljubo, da ne bo jedla, da ne bo zložila obroka, če ne bo vsak dan pomagala vsaj milijon ljudi. In tako je postala znana kot Tara ali Džorno po tibetansko osvoboditeljico. Zaradi tega, ker ne nehoma osvobaja neskončno število čutečih biti vsak dan. In to je zgodba, ki jo je povedal Buda. In to je primer, kako lahko razvijemo najvišjo obliko sočutja. Tara nam je za vzgled, najvišjo obliko sočutja, nesebične ljubezni in modrosti. In to lahko uporabljamo tudi kot metodo. Metodo za našo prakso. Tara je lahko naš ideal, naša heroina, vzor, ki mu sledimo. In na ta način lahko sami v sebi vzgojimo, v našem lastnem umu vzgojimo modrost, sočutje in da bi to storili, uporabimo obliko ali izkušnjo, ki se pojavlja kot Tara in to imenujemo uporabiti rezultat ali sadež kot pot.
And generally when we try to generate compassion, first we try to understand that we are all same. All of us, everybody else is like me, who doesn't want to have any problems and sufferings and pain, and who wants to have happiness and joy, good things. to really understand that, to really deeply understand that I am same as everybody else. So therefore, you know, whatever I wish, the others wish. Whatever I don't wish, others also don't wish. So we are completely similar. To understand that is the basis of compassion. In order to, you know, see that I can kind of put myself in the place of somebody else, and then see that how, you know, how I would feel like. But then, to use that kind of a method to generate compassion in a different way, as we said, using the result of the path, is that we feel the presence of somebody like Tara, kind of limitless compassion and limitless kind of wisdom. If we really feel that in front of us first, and then feel how much kind of, you know, feel that, concentrate or occupy, let our mind be occupied by that great compassion and wisdom. This is another way of working on our compassion.
Strašen je način, kako razvijemo sočutje, da najprej razumemo, da smo vsi enaki, da razumemo, da je vsakdo tako kot jaz, da si tako kot jaz ne želim trpljenim problemom in da si vsakdo tako kot jaz želi sreče, radosti in dobrih stvari v življenju. In kako globoko razumemo, potem, ko se pojavi to razumevanje, potem vidimo, da smo mi prav takšni kot vsi drugi. Ker si želim dobrih stvari, vse to si pravno tako želijo na enak način vsa ostala bitja. Stvari, ki si jih ne želim, pravno tako vsa ostala bitja si ne želijo trpljenja in vzroke strpljenja. In ko to globoko razumemo, postane to osnova za sočutje, da smo sposobni si predstavljati, kako nekdo drug doživlja stvari, da smo sposobni čutiti tisto, kar čutijo drugi. In to je ena od metod, splošna metoda, kako lahko v sebi vzbudimo sočutje. Potem druga metoda, ko uporabimo rezultat ali sad, popolno stanje kot pot, je pa ta, da začutimo prisotnost nekega razsvetljenega bitja, kot je naprimer Tara, da poskušamo globoko začutiti pred sabo to emanacijo neskončnega sočutja in neskončne modrosti in da čutimo, da je res tukaj v naši prisotnosti pred nami najprej in potem dopustimo, da popolnoma prežane naš um. To je druga metoda, kako lahko v sebi vzbudimo sočutje.
And when you do go higher, a little bit deeper in this practice, and then not only that you feel the presence of such a, you know, most compassionate and a wise person, and feel that the presence of that with me, in front of me, but then you yourself feel to be like that. That is sometimes we call it self-visualization. That I myself become like the Tara. The same wisdom, the same compassion, the same positive energy, to feel that, because this is, you know, if I have, if I develop, or if my own Buddha nature, you can call it, if you like, is kind of awakened, and then I can also be with the same kind of wisdom, and the same kind of compassion, and the same kind of healing energy. So therefore, you know, using the Tara as a kind of a medium to develop my own natural, you know, wisdom and compassion and healing energy, and to experience that is the practice of Tara.
In če gremo še naprej v tej praksi, ne, potem, če poglobimo to prakso, potem ne samo da čutimo prisotnost tega sočutja in modrosti te osebe, ki simbolizira to sočutje in modrost pred nami samimi, ampak naprej v praksi mi sami postanemo kot Tara. Mi sami postanemo Tara in to se včasih imenuje samovizualizacija. Jaz postanem nerazdružljivo eno staro. Enako, imam enako modrost, enako sočutje, enako pozitivno energijo. In to deluje tako, da če zgubim mojo lastno budovo naravo, ki je že naravno prisotna, lahko imam tudi sam enako modrost, sočutje, moč zdravljenja, kot jo ima Tara. To je v meni prisotno, že naravno. In Tara uporabim kot medij ali sredstvo, ki mi pomaga razviti mojo lastno naravno modrost, sočutje, moč pomagati drugim zdraviti. In če začutimo to, če doživimo to, potem je to praksa Tare.
And so this practice of Tara has been taught by the Buddha, and then there's a long lineage, you know, and this particular practice is one which is specially practiced very much by the first Karmapa Thusan Chenpa. The first Karmapa Thusan Chenpa has five main nidhans, and each of these is in a set of five. So these five paras as one practice is coming from one of them.
In to prakso Tare je učil že Buda in potem je bila dolga linija, po kateri se je ta praksa prenašala. In posebej je pa to prakso prakticiral prvi Karmapa, Dusun Kempa. In Karmapa je imel pet glavnih jidamov, vsakega v nizu petih. In ta iz petih oblik...
Five forms of Tare.
The five. It's a five idioms, and one is Tara.
In imel je pet glavnih idomov ali zaščitnih božanstv, vizualizacijskih božanstv, in eno od teh petih je bila Tara.
And generally, the empowerment, empowerment is empowerment is a teaching. It's like a guided meditation. It is also a permission. Once you receive the empowerment, then you are allowed to do the practice. It's also a blessing and translation that the teacher practices the practice, who have received the practice, and then give that kind of a blessing and transmission to the students. And so therefore it is also called like there are three, what we call as three impermanence. One is the seed impermanence, that is the impermanence like the blessing that we do now, the blessing and permission. After that, then one practices it, uses it, that practice, understands that practice and tries to work on that yourself, and that's called the path empowerment. And by doing that practice again and again, then you actually actualize that experience, and that is called the result empowerment. So empowerment is like the whole way, but what we are doing now is trying to do the first empowerment.
In nasplošno je opolnomočenje, je učenje neke vrste vodena meditacija. Poleg tega je to dovoljenje, ki ga dobimo, dovoljenje, da lahko vizualiziramo in se predstavljamo, da smo določeno božanstvo, da delamo določeno prakso. Poleg tega je to tudi blagoslov, transmisija blagoslova, ki ga je učitelj dobil od svojega učitelja in ki ga da potem svojim učencem, svojim študentom. In v splošnem govorimo, da so tri opolnomočenja. Prvo opolnomočenje, to, kar bo sledilo zdaj, je tako imenovano opolnomočenje semena, ki je kot blagoslov, ki ga prejmemo in dovoljenje za prakso. Potem drugo opolnomočenje je sama praksa, ki jo izvajamo potem sami. Ko delamo na tem, ko delamo to prakso in to se imenuje opolnomočenje kot pot. In po dolgem času, ko ponavljamo vedno samo to prakso, ko vadimo, pride do rezultata, ko se dejansko pojavi ta izkušnja, ko pridemo do realizacije. In to je potem opolnomočenje rezultata ali sadu. In vsa ta tri opolnomočenja skupaj, ali vse ti tri faze so opolnomočenje. Zdaj, kar počnemo, zdaj je samo ta prvi del, opolnomočenje kot seme.